It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline, or actually in studio, is Rob Radford for his weekly appearance.
I can go Colin if you like.
Well, we saw you up there. Are you okay after the
eclipse? I
wanted
to make sure Arcane was okay.
So that's what you were doing.
I was shielding the sun from his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Or smart.
The moon from his eyes.
Because we saw you in the background on Twitch a couple of different times there.
Yeah.
So you were, I don't know if we needed a consent form or anything with Bradfo on there, but you're yeah. Okay after
show
the eclipse.
Yeah, much like Netflix, I have not signed anything.
let's start with Trevor Story and replacing Trevor Story. We can maybe do a retrospective on his time in Boston and Bogaerts leaving and him coming in. But just how do they replace it? Like, what's the plan to replace him in the meantime?
Well, first of all, I listened to Gresh earlier.
Uh-huh.
Great show, Gresh and Fourier.
Yes.
But it's like, it's enough. It's enough of the Trevor Story. Just get rid of him. Well, that's not really how this works. Is that you have him here for an extended period of time, and when he plays, actually, I thought he was going to have a good year. But to come back to your point with Trevor Story, is that this is a huge hit. Good for them for actually winning yesterday and righting the ship and having the optimism. But this is an enormous, enormous hit for them. This is defensively, offensively, leader in the clubhouse, all the above. If you had to pick top three guys that you did not want to lose, Trevor Story might be number one.
So what is any inclination that you have of what their plan might be for this season, assuming that Story is out for a very extended period of time?
I think that you ride it out with, initially, everyone wants the immediate trade, right? That's not how front offices work.
Willie Adames.
Definitely not this front office.
Right.
My standard is so much lower than that.
No, I mean, but remember last year, they got Pablo Reyes. Like, that's what you're talking about. And now, circle of life, you get Pablo Reyes again. You get David Hamilton, and you probably get a smattering of Sadat and Rafaela. There you go. And if you get to the trade deadline and you're still in it, then maybe the conversation is different if Trevor Story still isn't playing. But for now, that's what you have. And that is not ideal. With all due respect to all those young gentlemen, it's not ideal because Trevor Story, I thought, was going to be an all-star this year. I honestly thought that. The way that I saw him in spring training, offensively, defensively, across the board, I thought he was going to be an all-star. So in my mind, you're replacing an all-star, and that's a big hit. Including, by the way, you make Devers worse because we heard it time and time again in spring training. Devers was going to be better because of Trevor Story. You made the middle of the order worse because he was your right-handed bat. Yeah, you have Tyler O'Neill, but you don't have Tyler O'Neill and Trevor Story. This is, as I said, I don't know if I said it the first time, the first 50 times, it's a big hit for them.
You just mentioned Rafaela. Does that Rafaela extension, is that a coincidence now with the Story injury? Do you think there's a connection?
No, I think that they were working on this for throughout spring training. They were trying to identify.
But they just happened to get it done right after Story gets
hurt. And the day that you went out to look at the eclipse.
That too, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things happening. None of this is a coincidence. It's like Y2K. I look at it as... With Sinan Rafaela, he was one of these guys where you go down the list of, yes, they want to be the Atlanta Braves. They want these extensions. Well, who do you have? And you had Brian Bello. You have Tristan Casas, who's still going to be a bear to get done. I guarantee you that. And then you have Tanner Houck. You have Sinan Rafaela. I don't think that after Bello and Casas, these are no-brainers to give extension. I don't think Rafaela is a no-brainer to give an extension to. I agree with Alex Gibb, the Cole Keith. You know, I think he was at the Country Music Awards last
yes,
night, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I
Jelly
do,
Roll cleaned yeah. up. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
but I do think that that's a good comp. The 6 years, $30 million with a couple. I mean, he had 47 days of service time. So it's fine.
You don't think he's earned this extension yet?
Do I? No, I don't have a problem with it because it's not a ton of money. Like, I don't have – anytime anyone signs these extensions, I usually don't have a problem with the team or the player to do it because it's not a lot of money. It's Garrett Whitlock signing an extension, and even if it doesn't work out, it's not going to kill the Red Sox. So, Don Rafaela, this isn't going to kill the Red Sox. But if you're talking about the next guy, like the Corbin Carroll extension or even the Brian Bello level of extension, who is going to be the next guy? There isn't that logical guy on the Red Sox right now.
Talking to Rob Bradford, WEEI, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can check out on the Odyssey app. He's presented by
McFarlane.
McFarlane Energy, Mego.
McFarlane.
Arcan?
I like McFarlane Energy, too. I didn't know we were doing this.
I was hoping he was going to be a little more.
I do.
This is just like his eclipse.
The eclipse really screwed him up.
Well, I believe that McFarlane powered the eclipse in some way.
That would make sense. Or maybe they kind of harnessed the energy. That would make sense. So it's McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Just one more on replacing Story. Mm. Is Meyer in play in any way,
no.
shape, or form? Not at all.
No chance this year. He delightfully came on our show on Saturday and basically said, you know, I got a lot to prove. And he's in Double A. He had a smattering of experience in Double A. He looked good in spring training. He looks healthy.
So if he hits for 3 months, no chance he's up.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he lost all last year. I mean, he basically lost a year of development. And I don't think they're going to take that leap. Now, a year from now, sure. Absolutely. And it's too bad. It's too bad he lost that year because really, if you look at the continuum, the timeline for guys who are drafted as high-level high school shortstops, you have Bobby Witt Jr., who, if you went by his timeline, Marcelo Meyer would be on the Red Sox right now. But he lost that year, so you're just going to have to ride it out.
So you mentioned before, okay, like, and we've talked about this in years past, that with an injury like this, you ride it out until up to the trade deadline, maybe you get something done. What is your confidence level that this ownership group and the front office as it's operating today would reinvest in a team that looks like they're on track for the postseason once they're coming up against the trade?
Well, I think that Craig Breslow was on the Greg Hill show and he broached this subject. And I heard from Craig Breslow was you better invest if we're there.
But specifically in the Trevor Story scenario.
Oh, if they'll invest in Trevor Story. Yeah.
No, if they'll invest in a replacement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that you get to the trade deadline, you have to do whatever you have to do to fill whatever's lacking. Like, if Pablo Reyes goes crazy and he's the answer, then super. Then you don't have to do that. But my guess is that you want to upgrade there. If you had the trade deadline right now, you're talking about shortstop. You're talking about, I think, right field because I don't think Abreu's working out right now. And that's where you start with this team. And so, and maybe second base. We still haven't seen Vaughn Grissom play, so who knows. But still, I think that you get to the trade deadline. Number one, to answer your question, yes, I would say shortstop would be one of those positions. And B, to come back to what Breslow said, is that, hey, listen, I know that we couldn't invest in the offseason, but this is a whole different ball of wax. If we're in it at all, like, give me the go-ahead to actually make a run at this thing.
Did you hear what Alex Cora said about Fenway yesterday? Did you read about that?
With a Fenway experience?
Just about how the experience isn't so good. I have the actual quote
outside
right here.
Outside of 2021, I can streamline it. Outside of 2021, they haven't played very good baseball at home. He even crapped on Sweet Caroline a little bit. Like,
which
hey,
I liked.
If we're down seven runs, it's not as cool to play it.
And
something
we haven't made Fenway uncomfortable to the opposition in a while. The fans sort of circle around. If they're from California, they make it like part of their trip when they see ballparks. Mm. What do you think was the intent behind that? Why do you think he's talking about Fenway?
He had the sting of the Dodgers parade down Lansdowne from last year. I mean, Alex Cora has been here when it's been at its best, right? He knows, he understood even in 2021 when people are pouring beer on their face and that was
drinking out of shoes.
That was crazy. That was a crazy crowd. But what it had become last year was between the parade down Lansdowne Street, the Dodgers fans, the dollar tickets. We know all this. We know this. And Alex Cora knows this. So it can't be that place where, hey, yeah, you know what? We're going to go. We're going to hang out. Isn't this cool? We get to go to Fenway Park, look around, eat, drink, and then leave. Like, it can't be that way anymore. And that's where Alex Cora wouldn't absolutely say, I missed this. But he misses it. I mean, he was here in 2007, 2008, and obviously during the runs of 18 and 21. Like, how can you not miss it? And that's what they got to get past. Like, they're right now, as we go into tomorrow, unfortunately for the Red Sox, it's still that is taking priority, right? Everybody come in, it's a nice day, come over to Fenway Park, instead of let's get rowdy, let's be like Citizens Bank Park and take your throat out from under you, right? And we're going to impact this game by being fans. Yeah. I mean, like, exactly. So, like, but that's what they have to get back to, and that's what Alex Cora's talking
about. I'm
not
totally sure what we're condoning here, but
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the riot punch at the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah,
Fenway, people with the big big gallons of green stuff.
Yeah, Fenway used to be different.
Getting drunk on grain alcohol. Come on.
Fenway from my childhood, you were a little nervous walking in there if you were an opposing fan. I get that. Mego's just nervous about wearing Orioles hat to games. Real quick, on the opener tomorrow, and I know we're kind of talking about like getting away from the pomp and circumstance and, you know, making Fenway more of a home field advantage. What should we expect? I mean, I know there's a lot of players, like I think upwards of 40 people, players, coaches that are going to be there from the 2004 team tomorrow. What should we expect?
Well, I think that, you know, first and foremost is honoring Tim Wakefield. I mean, I think that is, you listen to, I was just over the foundation to be named later, Hot Stove Cool Music Media Availability today, and Manny talked, Theo talked, Tito talked, all these people talked, and obviously they're super unbelievably happy to be at there to honor 2004, but it always came back to, well, you know, it's not the same because the Tim Wakefield passing. So I think that has to take priority over everything. And then you get into the 04 stuff. Hey, listen, Cesar Crespo is going to be there. It's going to be a big day here. Pokey Reese was on the list, but his first name wasn't Pokey.
I saw this, yes.
Yeah.
It was,
I had to do a quick Google search. Like, who is this Reese character?
I can get it for you. It is, it's not Pokey Reese in there. But it is Calvin Reese.
Calvin.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed that with 100
guesses. Calvin will be back as well. So I think that it's a cool thing. I wish they weren't doing it opening day. I really wish they weren't doing it opening day. Not only because it's opening day and it's already chaotic, but because of the aforementioned thing with Tim Wakefield and Larry Lucchino. And they knew that Wakefield, they didn't know about Lucchino, but still, there's too much going on. They could have done it another day. But still, all that said, it is pretty cool. I mean, it's a whole nother conversation with the 04 team.
Okay. So he is Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, WEEI. You can check him out on the Odyssey app. Bradfo, we'll see, I'm sure, at Fenway at some point this week.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be down there with my guy, Cora.
Yeah. Listen, you guys are best buds now, right?
We kind of are so far,
it's good. It started
that way with Mac, too, though, so we'll see. We'll see where things go, but that is true. But, yeah, we'll see you down at Fenway this week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we'll talk to Rob Bradford next Tuesday at 4:30, as we do most weeks. So we had to bump them up by a day with the opener tomorrow.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.